Our passage from Genesis today represents the passing of the torch from Abraham to Isaac and teaches us about prayer. The 24th chapter of Genesis tells us about the search for Isaac's wife. When the chapter begins, Isaac's mother, Sarah, has recently died and has been buried near Hebron. After her burial, Abraham realizes that now is the time to find Isaac a wife. He is feeling his age. Abraham sends his most trusted servant to go back to Abraham's home country seeking a wife there, and Abraham, recognizing that he may not be alive much longer, gives instructions to the servant that go beyond just this journey. Abraham insists that Isaac neither marry a Canaanite, which foreshadows later prohibitions in Deuteronomy, and also insists that Isaac himself remain in Canaan lest he vacate God's promise of the land. Abraham's servant departs, and he does not go back to Ur of the Chaldeans, the place from whence Abraham's father, Terah, had set out now nearly two generations prior. The servant instead goes to a place called Nahor. Geography is often important in scripture, and for many this is a new place, but may have a familiar name. Nahor is the name of Abraham's second brother. Abraham's other brother, named Haran, had already died when Abraham, Terah, and family left Ur. Abraham's father, traveled, called into the promised land by God, but Terah stopped in Haran, a town named for Abraham's other brother. Nahor is near to Haran, and so it was to this village that Abraham's servant seeks a wife for Isaac. For all of Abraham's urgency in insisting that Isaac must stay in Canaan and that Isaac's wife must come to Canaan, Abraham gives little deeper instruction on what qualities the servant should seek in Isaac's bride. The servant is left to his own to make that decision, and so he prays for guidance. He prays for a sign. How often do we still pray for signs when we are lost and uncertain? How many of us have said or thought, "Oh God, if I am supposed to do this thing, please send a sign." How often, when we ask for these signs, are we vague, seeking to not be too specific, asking for a sign, any sign, show me something? I know that's often what I do, but that's not how Abraham's servant prays. He does not seek any sign. He prays for a specific sign, that the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, "Please, give me a little water from your jar to drink," and who will say to me, "Drink, and I will draw for your camels also," let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. It's important that he prayed for a specific sign, because when we pray for just any sign, we make it easy for us to seize on just anything that might happen. We make it easy to convert our own desires into divine mandates. How many politicians say on the campaign trail that God told them they should hold the office for which they are running? How many say, "God gave me a sign that I will win this campaign"? And how many of them lose? If we're going to ask for signs, we need, like Abraham's servant, to ask for specific signs so that we are not simply looking for any justification. the sign that Abraham's servant chooses is appropriate. It is itself a sign of the woman's character. He does not pray for a grand miracle. He does not pray that God should cause lightning to strike a nearby tree as I look ominously out the window. He does not pray for a great wind to blow all of the other women away. He prays that someone will show kindness to him and to his animals. He prays that the right woman will be revealed when she goes beyond just the water the servant asks for himself and also draws water for his camels. He prays for a sign that will demonstrate the hospitality, kindness, and generosity traits that he believes will be good for Isaac's future wife. When we seek signs in prayer, we should make sure that we are seeking the right sign. We should not presume to be so significant as to receive overwhelming miracles on demand, but to seek instead and to watch instead for the subtle guidance of God in our lives. Abraham's servant receives his sign. The text says that even as he is still praying, Rebekah comes to the spring to draw water. She immediately responds to his request, handing him her jar so that the servant may drink and offering to draw as well water for his camels. He does not even need to wait. And as the servant drinks and as Rebekah provides water to the animals, they began to speak. And in this conversation, the servant receives further confirmation of God's providence. Not only has Rebekah provided water for him and his animals, but she introduces herself as the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. Not only is she kind and generous to the servant and to his animals, she is a member of Abraham's clan. She is the granddaughter of Abraham's brother, Nahor. She is part of the very household the servant was seeking when he came to this village named for Rebekah's grandfather. This growing confirmation, not only is Rebekah kind and generous to humans and animals alike, she is a member of the right family, is still, however, not full confirmation for the servant. He believes that he has found the right woman, but he still seeks confirmation from others. After she takes him to her family, the servant tells the story of his prayer, of the sign that he sought, and how he believes that Rebekah is meant to be Isaac's spouse. The servant is looking to see if others also recognize his prayer and can confirm this sign for him. As much as we all, or at least I, like to joke about how our Presbyterian committees move at ponderously slow paces, is after all not unknown for a Presbyterian committee meeting to result in a motion to create a second committee for the sole purpose of creating a third committee. Yes, committees, recursively creating committees, is a feature, not a bug, of Presbyterian polity. This passage is part of the reason. We seek to confirm as best we can that we are following God's will for us and not our own fickle, self-serving desires. And so, as the servant spoke to Rebekah and Rebekah's family, he did not declare that she is the one and you must send her away with me. But he explained what he believed and why, and asked if Rebekah's family and, most importantly, Rebekah herself agreed. It's only after receiving this confirmation of God's call on Rebekah's life that she and the servant set out to find Isaac. They return. They find Isaac walking in the fields, and he and Rebecca rush to greet each other. And although the end of our passage does not mention Abraham, he is still alive and does live to see Isaac's marriage and to see God's promise carried forward. Another generation as Rebecca moves into the tent formerly occupied by Sarah. It is often a deep challenge for us to find the patience to seek the right signs, especially when we are tired, when we are impatient to find our next step, when we are eager to return home. Abraham's servant was surely all of these things as he arrived in Nahor, but when, like the servant, we can slow ourselves down, when we can seek kindness and generosity instead of grandiose displays of power, when we talk to each other, when we seek to work together, we can, like Abraham's servant, help to carry forwards God's promise to the next generation. Thanks be to God.